Welcome to Fontanelle, the podcast with a soft spot for pediatrics. In this episode, I talk to Professor Mark Beattie, who recently gave the keynote talk at the Peer Conference 2018, alongside Dr. Sarah Williams and Dr. Mark Johnson, in a talk entitled Nutrition, Everyone's Business. Professor Beattie was using Crohn's disease as a model for chronic illness and the nutritional requirements of each phase of the illness. He also talked about the importance of the basics of plotting height and weight, taking a proper history, examining, and then bringing it all together to make a plan involving the dietitians. Mark Beattie is a professor of paediatric gastroenterology in Southampton. He is a huge fan of Peer and thoroughly enjoyed the conference, so I felt very lucky to be able to snatch these few moments with him between talks. So we're at the Peer Conference 2018, and I've now got Professor Mark Beattie with me. Hi, Professor Beattie. Great to meet you. I'm really enjoying the conference so far, and it was fantastic to hear your presentation this morning.
It's focusing on nutrition. It's a great conference, isn't it? So much enthusiasm. You've got 200 people who are enthusiastic and passionate about paediatrics, and enthusiastic and passionate about doing paediatrics well.
Exactly.
So I'm amazed that in an era where people say things are so negative, that this is so positive, isn't it?
Yeah,
what a great event,
and yeah,
what great presentations. I mean, in my session, I wanted to get people to think about the basic issues in nutritional care and really to think about it from the perspective of someone working in a hospital, so that you could implement some simple principles to help improve health outcomes. And it's very important because we have the global epidemic of obesity, but we also have children who are vulnerable, who've got impaired nutrition as a consequence of chronic illness. And so we talked in the meeting about these different issues, and I was grateful to have Sarah Williams, who's got huge expertise as a general paediatrician with an interest in nutrition, and Mark Johnson as a neonatologist. We wanted people to get the basic principles. Your energy expenditure is comprised of your resting energy expenditure and your physical activity level. And as paediatricians, we also have to think a little bit about the energy cost of growth. Mm-hmm. Not too much energy, because if we give too much energy, we promote obesity. Mm-hmm. But if we don't give enough energy, then children don't grow. So, you know, to think about different scenarios, like the child with chronic illness, or like the child presenting acutely, or like the preterm infant, are ways in which you can develop this thinking. And you know, what I hope to get people to be thinking about is, as part of my routine clinical assessment, whichever bit of the NHS I work in, I should be thinking about nutrition. I should be thinking about the height, weight, plotting it, how it fits in with the context in which I'm seeing the patient, and whether I should be given any advice doing any intervention. We've researched this and we've shown that the amount of nutrition you require during an illness period changes. You need less when you're very ill because you're not active. You need more when you're getting better. And if you have to catch up, or at least if you've missed a bit of the pubertal growth spurt or missed a bit of growth during childhood, you might need for a period of time a little extra. But you've got to counter that with the issue that as a hospital doctor, you can start a treatment, or as a hospital dietitian, you can start a treatment. And if you continue with nutritional support beyond when it's required, then you may simply promote adiposity. And people learnt this in cystic fibrosis, for example, and have learnt this in neurodisability, that you can easily promote adiposity.
So what I found was a really useful hook in your talk was the use of the case study of a patient with Crohn's disease as an illustration of your approach to nutrition in patients with chronic disease. Can we just dig a little bit deeper into that, using that as an example?
Yeah, so we've spent about 10 plus years researching the nutritional care of Crohn's disease. And really, you can use that as a model for how you think about the management of nutrition in a children with chronic illness. And so when you first present with Crohn's disease, you've got an inflammatory process going on and you're ill. that doesn't mean your metabolic rate goes up, because we've researched that, but it does mean your physical activity level goes down. So therefore, your total energy needs are less than the recommended daily allowance. That's illness phase one. When you start to get better, you get a bit more active. And actually, particularly if you've lost weight, you need to regain that weight. We've looked at that in patients with Crohn's disease who are improving and found that they take about 120% of the recommended daily intake. So that means as you're getting better, you might need more calories. That's phase two of the illness cycle. The third phase is the really hard one. So you've got three potential scenarios. One is that you are of a normal height and weight, so you've regained any deficit, then you just need your normal requirements. Not extra, just your normal requirements. The second one is that you have a persistent nutritional deficit. And it may be because you've been ill that you've had a period of growth failure. And therefore you may need some extra calories for a period of time to promote the catch-up growth. So that's catch-up height rather than just catch-up weight. And that we've looked at and often means that you need up to 300 or 400 extra calories per day. But the scenario that becomes the most difficult is what you do next. So if you need a period of extra nutrition for that reason, then that needs to be frequently reviewed. Because otherwise you run the danger of promoting adiposity. And that's been found in patients with Crohn's disease, previously in patients with cystic fibrosis, patients with renal disorders. When having corrected a nutritional deficit, you as a clinical team continue to give supplements, which means you give more calories than are required. So this really is about saying that if you've got a chronic illness, which has an impact on your nutrition and therefore weight gain and growth, then the amount of nutritional repletion you require is different during an acute phase compared to a recovery phase, compared to a long-term phase in disease remission. And this is very important. And really, the best way to ensure that occurs is if you're managing children with chronic illness, make sure you have got dietetic support in your team and make sure you plot children, interpret the growth data correctly, and act accordingly so that we can try and improve nutrition, normalize growth, but not promote adiposity with all its long-term health implications.
Yeah, that's very useful. Again, it just comes back down to the basics, doesn't it? That we have to make sure we're plotting them correctly, regularly, and actually looking at that and acting on that information.
But you see, in medicine, we can use very expensive treatments. And we can go to pro forma rather than basic history taking. And we can make judgments based on scores. But we mustn't forget that the simple basic history taking examination and assessment will often guide us down the correct path, or at least it will enable us to best use all those additional things that we can do and for them to be the most effective. Also, we interacted with the audience a bit and wanted to make a bit of fun. You know, if we're saying focus on nutrition, it's everyone's problem, then isn't that great? But it's really easy to pick up messages on Twitter, in other fora, and to get simple things out to people, like you're podcasting at the moment and it gets some facts out to the audience. You know, we've got to share our knowledge. There were in this conference some quite amazing presentations from district hospitals, and I was really taken by the Isle of Wight, who's set up a virtual hospital rather than a real hospice because they haven't got enough numbers. But they've still got vulnerable children who are definitely benefiting. Wouldn't it be great if that message got across to other units to say, actually, you can do it in a different way? And I was very impressed by the presentation from, they've renamed the hospital, but I'm talking about Chichester and Worthing, who, you know, they've shown in real time that they've improved their HbA1cs. Now, whatever they've done to improve HbA1c, in type 1 diabetes, so to reduce the long-term problems with renal disease, retinopathy and such like. Well, you know, great, isn't it, to share that? And actually, maybe what they need to do next is to say, right, this is exactly what we did, mm-hmm. because that's what makes people able to give out better advice and work in a better and more effective way and feel better about their jobs. Mm. I'm intrigued. We're going to go and learn about well-being.
Yeah. No.
I think the important thing about well-being for the doctors is good, but remember, it's for the nurses, it's for the dietitians, it's for the admin staff, it's for the cleaning staff, and more than anything, it's for the patients and families that we look after.
Yeah. No, well, I've just been lucky enough to have a chat to Dan Magnus, actually, mm-hmm. who's going to be giving that talk, and he's very much going to be talking about a team approach and hopefully trying to make people less isolated.
Well, my sons are just started as an F1 in London. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've clearly got a strategy there because he's working at St. Thomas's. And he says to me, you know, I have a terrible day today. But one of the consultants just checked I was all right before I went home. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. yeah, that's because people are looking after each other, yeah. and thinking, you know, if we create a positive environment, then the fact it can be busy and we're doing important stuff and we've got to get it right and we're going to be very criticised if we get it wrong becomes more bearable.
Yeah, I think
so long as we don't make it just about doctors.
Yeah, I think there is a recognition that we all need to look after each other. I think that's definitely growing. But you're right, it can't just be about doctors. It needs to just extend to the whole team and beyond, because after all, we're all people.
What have you enjoyed so far at the conference?
What have I enjoyed?
I'm asking you a question. What are the podcast posts?
So I really enjoyed the talk that you guys gave about nutrition. And I went to the education stream. I particularly enjoyed listening to Mark Tai giving advice on how to write. Mm. Or what really, it wasn't so much how to write, but what journals are looking for. So if you want to get something published, what how to approach that. He's obviously speaking as an editor of archives, and so just really, really insightful advice. And I'm definitely going to try and pin him down and see if he can do an interview as well. But he's had to rush off to clinic.
That's where quality improvement becomes implementation science and really is research and enables us to do our jobs better. And I think that if we can get the message across about the good work that's done by publishing it, sharing it, implementing it, then we do the job better by really collecting what people from the outside would consider simple facts about simple things. But actually the simple facts about simple things are where we do the job in a better, more efficient and effective way. So, you know, one of the things I would say to the various different people who've presented here is keep presenting in other forums, because what you've got to say is really important.
Definitely. No, that's the thing. There's so many high quality strands here, really, and it's all varied that definitely has to go beyond just being here. And that's part of what this podcast is about. But it's also like what you were saying about using Twitter, other social media. It's just getting it out there, because we do hear so much negativity about the NHS and doctors and everyone being stressed, but really I think there's so much that we are all doing, and sharing it in a forum like this is very inspiring.
Yeah, it's great, and it's great to see you enthusiastically podcasting.
Yeah, that's really great. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today. Do you have any final words of wisdom, nutritional or anything really, for the listeners today on Fontenelle?
I think my final words are, listen to and learn about the basics and get interested, and, you know, follow different outlets that give you good facts about different medical conditions, and, you know, embrace things like podcasting, Twitter, different ways of emailing out information, and, you know, get the facts right to manage the condition in the best way. And I think one of the things that is really important, and this is actually what I've heard Russell Viner say on many occasions as president of the college, is get the facts right to manage the condition properly. And that would certainly go for nutrition impairment, nutritional treatment, and the global epidemic of obesity.
So some great words of encouragement there from Professor Beattie.
And I'm looking forward to bringing some more material from the peer conference. I interviewed several of the speakers on the day and managed to catch up with others of them after the conference. And there are some in the pipeline too. I've also got another stream of podcasts coming out, which will be focusing on treatment of basic paediatric conditions using Wessex Healthier Together material. And I think that will be really useful for paediatricians in the first years of training, as well as GP trainees. Anyway, I hope that you enjoyed today's show. But more than anything, I hope that it evolves into something useful and interactive. So if you do have any thoughts about what you think would be interesting to have on the show, or you'd like to come on, or you've got a friend who wants to come on, or you know about some interesting research or findings, perhaps something controversial, it doesn't even have to be that clinical. If it's vaguely related to paediatrics and you think others would be interested, just let me know and we'll try and get it out there. You can contact me by email at fontanellepod@gmail.com or on Twitter at fontanellepod. I will get back to you and we will try and make this happen. So until next time, from Fontanelle, goodbye.